Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
VIP Play is live here in Tennessee. That means you can go claim your VIP Play welcome bonus. When you make your first bet of $5 or more, you'll get $100 in bonus bets instantly. Just use the promo code Audacy, AUDACY. VIP Play also gives you new and more convenient deposit and withdrawal methods. And the next VIP Play app will make that experience even better. You can also take advantage of the VIP Players Club sweepstakes. With every bet you make on VIP Play, you get entries into the sweepstakes. You get entries for every bet made, every dollar per bet, and 10 times your entries on parlays and same game parlays. You can also take advantage of daily profit boosts like 25% MLB parlay profit boost on 3 picks or more. The NBA playoffs no danger wager. You can receive 50% of your stake back in bonus bets if your wager loses. And you can also take advantage as we get into conference tournament series or season here for college baseball. 20% off college baseball tournament profit boost on picks of 3 or more. VIP Play. It's where everyone gets traded like a VIP. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. USB 21 and older and located in Tennessee to wager. Let's get into the list. College quarterbacks. All right, Tim, we mentioned that David Hale has ranked all 136 college football quarterback situations into tiers, as he says, which I'm fine with. I don't necessarily have to have a 1 through 10. I get why we do it. I don't have a problem people do it. I'm totally fine with the tier system. So a couple of the things that I find interesting. Sometimes it feels like he ranks the whole room, and then sometimes he's just ranking one guy. Because Penn State, which is in tier 1 with Drew Aller, he also includes Ethan Grunkenmeyer, who threw 2 passes last year, one of which got intercepted against SMU. How can he factor into this?
I don't know why he's doing this. I mean, I guess South Carolina's got a lot of interest because you've got Lenora Sellers, and then Aaron Noland was a big-time prospect, went to Ohio State, and now is at South Carolina. But it's like Clemson. As Chris Vizzini, I know he was a 4-star recruit, but he hasn't done anything.
I thought that guy writes for The Athletic.
That's Vanini. This is Vizzini. Vizina? Vizina.
George's are Italian. V-I-Z-Z-I-N-A.
I would go with Vizina.
Isn't that how we say Venice in Italian?
That's Venezia.
Yeah.
So have you watched Nonas yet?
I have not, no.
Was this just Italian grandmothers?
Yeah, Italian grandmother movie. We watched it.
Good.
Who's in it?
That was fine. Vince Vaughn's the lead. The girl from Grandma's Boy is the love interest. And Susan Sarandon.
Okay.
That's fine. It's fine.
It's that sounds like a Netflix like
Oh yeah, it's yeah.
like a 63% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's like a Friday night yeah. going
Weird
on.
Enough, you it's know, got an 80.
It's actually huh? got a true story. It's not terrible. I was we were entertained.
I just feel like it's gonna be looking into yeah, you, a farce of a family yeah. reunion for me. Yeah.
Hitting a little too close to home. I loved this stat. He did a little blind resume.
Okay.
QB1, 82.3 QBR, 28 touchdown passes, 12 interceptions, 64.7% completion percentage, 7.8 yards per attempt. All right?
Okay.
QB2, 79 QBR, 29 touchdown passes, so one more. Same amount of interceptions at 12, 64.2% completion percentage on 7.72 yards per attempt. QB1 is Garrett Nussmeier, who everybody is stoked on, and QB2 is Carson Beck last year, which everybody thought was a disaster.
So, I imagine you haven't listened to it yet. This is a little tease to the podcast I recorded earlier today with Bruce Feldman. But I opened it by asking the question, are we sleeping on Carson Beck? Like,
I'm not the person to ask. I still think he's pretty good.
I did my top 12 quarterbacks returning, and I didn't have Carson Beck in there. And a big reason was the elbow, right? The Tommy John surgery. Well, if you believe Mario Cristobal, which he's a coach, and they're all politicians, and they're all lying. But regardless, he told Josh Pate that he is... Everything is full throttle, no limitations, starting next week. What if Carson Beck's good?
Well, and also, he's going to be playing against the ACC.
So, they open up... So, once again, Notre Dame hat on. They open up at home against Notre Dame. Like, Notre Dame's got a lot of talent on the roster, and they're a preseason top 10 team, and I think they have the 6th or 7th shortest odds to win the title. But they've got a massive unknown at quarterback. Like, C.J. Carr could end up being awesome, but he could also be, you know, a redshirt freshman in a hostile environment. Because I'll say this, Miami on a noon Eastern against Duke in November is one of the worst atmospheres in college football.
Well, I just go back with Beck. I cannot remember Georgia's offensive line playing that badly as they did last year under Kirby. Like, maybe Kirby's first year. They were terrible.
Yeah. And like also going back to Carson Beck, this time last year, and a lot of it had to do obviously of who he was playing for, Georgia, he was the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, and he was the favorite to be the number one pick in the draft 11 months ago. And now he's 35-1 to be the first pick and 25-1 to win the Heisman. And he's going to a football program that, oh, by the way, just produced the Heisman Trophy. No, sorry. The number one pick in Cam Ward. And
he's going to have better receivers than Georgia had last year.
Last night I came to this realization. I'm like, what if Carson Beck is good?
I almost think. I know we always have the Mario factor, and I can't ignore it either.
No, you cannot ignore that.
But shouldn't they be favored over Clemson? I think their roster's better.
I'm the wrong guy to talk about Clemson. I love Clemson this year.
All right, I want to compare schedules. All right.
Clemson they don't play each other in the regular season.
So they both have toss-ups to start the year. Clemson hosts LSU. They get Troy at Georgia Tech, Syracuse at home. Bye week at Jordan Belichick. At
this
BC,
is Clemson.
Yeah. SMU at home. Duke, FSU at Louisville.
Okay. So Miami plays, because I looked at it today, Miami has Louisville at home and at SMU, and Clemson does the flip-flop. They host SMU, and they're at Louisville. And I think Louisville is actually pretty good. I think Miller Moss is going to be good this year.
I have no problem with that. I don't think Miller was the problem at USC. All right, so Miami's ACC schedules at FSU, sandwiched between bye weeks. That's weird. They have a bye week before FSU and a bye week after FSU. Then they get Louisville at home, Stanford at home, at SMU, Syracuse at home, NC State at home, at Vatech, at Pitt. I think we're sleeping on Miami.
Well, they're only a 2.5-point dog to Notre Dame. And the old adage goes...
2.5 dog.
Two and a half, it's the dog, is the right side. 3.5, it's the favorite. Now, we'll see how it plays out. I'm going to be there, and I'm probably going to hate myself every second of it, because in 2017, Notre Dame went down there and got absolutely ripped limb from limb by Miami in what I've never... In recent memory, I've never seen that place as loud as it was in 2017.
Okay, here's the... So, also in Tier 1, so he has Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeier, John Mateer at Oklahoma, Penn State with Aller, Carolina with Norris Sellers. This is the only problem that I have, and I understand this is why LSU fans are excited. QB1, 78.1 QBR, 68% completion percentage on 7.4 yards per pass, 25 touchdowns. QB2, 78.8 QBR, 64% completion percentage on 7.7 per pass, 26 touchdowns. QB1 is Jaden Daniels. QB2 is Garrett Nussmeier. Jaden Daniels the year before he won the Heisman, Garrett last year. Did I miss the part where Garrett runs a 4-4 and nobody can tackle him?
Also, does he have two first-round picks he's throwing?
Probably. I just trust LSU's always going to have receivers.
I mean, they always have good receivers, but, I mean, what they had in Jaden's year was stupid. I mean, it wasn't what Joe Burrow threw to.
To me, it's almost like, though, if you look at Jaden's first year, I think they lost three games. But if you look at their losses, it wasn't because of Jaden. Last year, like, Nussmeier was bad against LSU. I don't know if it really would have mattered against Alabama because they could not tackle. They couldn't stop Milroe on zone read. But I think they only put up like two scores. It wasn't like he even was remotely hanging around. And then their other loss. They lost to Florida, right?
This was LSU which year? His Heisman year?
No, I'm thinking of Nussmeier. I'm thinking of LSU's losses last year.
Last year.
They lost to SC to start the year. I can't really blame him on that one. They lost to A&M. He was bad.
Bama,
which, again, Milroe ran all over them, but he was not good.
Florida.
And then Florida. And he was fine in that Florida game. But, like, when you look at Daniels' losses his first year, it wasn't because of him.
Well, the year that he won the Heisman, they definitely didn't lose because of him. I mean, that Ole Miss game still is just one of the craziest games ever.
It was Lane Kiffin's perfect game. Just like, first quarter, let's get into the liquor cabinet. Like, we're just getting hammered. QB Tier 1B, Florida with Lagway. I did not realize it's where Harrison Bailey wound up. Miami with Carson Beck and Emory Williams. And Texas with Arch Manning and Matthew Caldwell. Tier 2, which we should just basically call the Big 12. Arizona State with Leavitt.
Yep.
Oh, Jeff Sims is there. Did not realize he was still playing college football. Hopefully that's a different Jeff. No, wow, same Jeff Sims. Holy cow. How does that kid still have eligibility? That is news to me. Then we also had Baylor.
Sawyer Robertson.
With Sawyer Robertson. Georgia Tech with Haynes King. And Iowa State with Rocco Beck. So my thing with Iowa State is, I think Rocco improved a lot, but I also don't know how much of it was a couple of top 100 receivers. I'm not sure Iowa State just replaces NFL receivers.
Yeah. I'm kind of getting to the point where, I don't know. Someone had coach rankings recently this week. I don't know if it was ESPN.
Is it CBS?
I don't know. But they had
ESPN did it.
Was it
the top 10, yeah.
And they had Campbell 10th.
Let me pull that up.
Yeah, double check. I thought I heard some coaching. I mean, look, it's the time of rankings, and I'm guilty of it too.
Yeah, Matt Campbell, 10th.
So I think the problem with Campbell is, I think once upon a time he was fighting with one arm behind his back. The problem is, so much of coach rankings is we think of jobs historically. Now, Iowa State's never been a good job historically. Well, right now in the Big 12, how's Iowa State any worse than any of the other jobs?
Well, and when he has had expectations, he has under-delivered, right? I mean, when you think back to, what was it, the COVID season team with Brock Purdy and Breece Hall?
Yeah, I just think COVID was so weird. They lost to Lafayette right off the bat, I think.
But then they went to the Fiesta Bowl. They beat Oregon. And then the following year, they still had
that happened?
Purdy.
That was a true sentence?
Yes. The following year in 21.
That year sucked.
I want to say, let me look at it real quickly. I think they opened preseason top five in 2021. And they went 7-5.
Yeah, but that's just, Iowa State should never open a season preseason five.
No, I know. They were ninth.
They shouldn't even open ninth.
Right. Well, look, the Oregon game happened. They beat Oregon. By the way, Mario Cristobal. But I remember the Camping World Bowl in 2019, and it was like Notre Dame goes to this random bowl game. Iowa State is all jacked up, and Notre Dame's like, yeah, we're just going to smoke you guys.
There's a different level of athlete here. All right, tier three, which is buckle up. He has Arkansas's Talon Green, Duke with Darian Mensah, Kansas with Jalen Daniels, Louisville with Miller Moss, Navy with Blake Horvath, SMU with Kevin Jennings, TCU with Josh Hoover, Ken Seals, former Vanderbilt guy, also there too, Texas Tech with Baron Morton, and that's Diego Pavia with Vandy.
Baron Morton's too high. Come on now. What are we doing?
Baron Morton got a lot of mileage out of, like, when they lost two games when he would hurt, and then he came back and they played somebody off. I'm like, oh, Texas Tech, they're fixed. They just need to get their quarterback back.
I mean, maybe because they're just spending so much money, so the expectation. I think Texas Tech's win total is, like, 8.5 this year. Like, there's a lot of excitement and expectations now around Texas Tech because they just have stupid money they're throwing around. I'm not going to. I think that's a little rich for Baron Morton, but
why is Washington ranked in the next tier? Tier four is the young pups.
I guess DeMond Williams only played what, two or three games.
Yeah, but I don't know if DeMond Williams belongs in the same conversation as Bryce Underwood, C.J. Carr, and Julian Sain.
Well, because the other three haven't taken snaps. DeMond Williams was out there balling. Like, I think DeMond Williams is, when I made my initial list, I didn't have him on there, and then I went back and I added him. I think I made him 8th. Like, I think DeMond Williams is definitely underrated in this.
The next tier is tier 5. The waiting is the hardest part, with Ty Simpson at Bama, Austin Mack and Keelon Russell. Georgia with Gunnar Stockton and Ryan Puglisi. My bold take is Puglisi finishes the year as Georgia's quarterback. Ole Miss with Austin Simmons and I actually think it's Malachi Smith, even though it looks like Maliuaki. It's the kid from
Oklahoma State.
And then Oregon with Dante Moore and Austin Novosad. Here's what I think. I think Austin Simmons, you're going to get a lot of Tua comps. He wears 13. He wears the eye black in the same fashion, left-handed. I think he's really good. I'm just really worried. He's got a torn UCL, and I'm just always worried that, hey, man, when it's torn, if you don't get surgery, it doesn't get fixed.
Did he actually tear it? Was that what ended up happening? Yeah. When that baseball injury? Yeah.
But I think he's really good.
Even with a torn UCL, he can throw that thing with some...
Like, he came in against Georgia and led them to one of their two touchdown drives and made some big-time throws. Also had two passes that easily could have been picked, but, we're in results business.
Also graduated college and, like,
Yeah, he's a little semesters. Too impressive. When you're 19 and you graduate college, that's a little too impressive.
When you're supposed to be a senior in high school and you've already graduated college.
And you've...
Yeah, I was an old freshman at 19.
Is he going to be a doctor? I mean, you're going to be calling him Dr. Simmons by the end of his collegiate career.
Lots of guys go to college for 7 years. Yeah. They call them doctors. The thing that was surprising, you mentioned, would this mean that Auburn's class would be high? Not the case. He has it with Tier 8A, Fresh Starts, Veteran Edition, Auburn with Jackson Arnold, Ashton Daniels, and Deuce Knight.
I mean, that's clearly telling you he's not ranking the rooms, right? Like, he's not ranking the
rooms. It seems like he's ranking the rooms when he sometimes.
Because look, I don't know if Auburn has a good quarterback on that roster, but I think they have three capable quarterbacks. They've got a five-star recruit. They've got a guy that...
They have 2 5-stars.
They have 2 5-stars, yeah, if you include Jackson Arnold. And they've got Ashton Daniels, who was, you know, the best player on a bad P4 team.
Jackson Arnold is better than Tommy Castellanos and Connor Wegman.
And Preston Stone. Like, Preston Stone lost his job at SMU.
They immediately got better.
Right, and they went to the playoff. Like, I get it. Like, Jackson Arnold did not live up to the hope at Oklahoma, but they also fired their offensive coordinator because he wasn't good enough, right? So,
and he's an alum. Flag football. All right, it's now official. The NFL owners voted today to permit players to participate in flag football at the 2028 Summer Olympics in LA. I believe the rules are as follows. Only one player per team can represent a country. So, like, the Bengals could not have Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. I'm very curious. So, this occurs right during, like, the middle part of training camp. I know Goodell's making a push for this. How many NFL guys do you actually think they were gonna play?
I don't know. I mean, we'll start hearing from them soon. My question is, how weird of the lineage are we going to go, right? Like, would I be, if I was a NFL quarterback, would I be able to play for Ireland? Like, how weird is it?
Well, isn't this what Nigeria did in basketball? And that's how, like, all of a sudden.
South Sudan,
right? Like, yeah, they just handed out, like, anyone, like, if you're from Africa at some point down the line, you can play here.
Yeah, some. So it's the same thing with baseball, with, like, a guy like Vinny Pascatino.
I was going to use Lars Nootbaar.
Well, I think his mom is actually Japanese.
Yeah, but he literally speaks as much Japanese as I do.
True. But, like, a guy like Vinny Pascatino, like, even said it recently, he's like, I don't know, like, great-great-great-grandparents.
Didn't we have a soccer player one time that was, like, from Jersey that was, like, a borderline phenom and then he just wanted to play in Italy?
Probably. But that's the thing, like, countries do this all the time with Olympic committees. I mean, they'll just say, cool, you have a lineage from 100 years ago.
Never forget my boy Rory Sabatini, who was South African for all of his life until he decided to declare he was Texan. And then all of a sudden, he gets a new wife and they gave him Bratislavan citizenship. And so he was playing from Bratislava's not Czech Republic.
Slovakia. Yep.
Well, yeah. I mean, it happened with Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid was basically auctioned off. It was either France.
Isn't he from Cameroon?
Cameroon,
yes.
Or the United States.
And he was basically between France and the U.S., and the France got all upset. I think we should have let him have him. I think he solely did it to, like, he knows he's not going to win anything big, and he thought it was going to help a brand, and it backfired.
Whatever, man. We needed every piece of help we could get, and thankfully Rudy Gobert stunk in that gold medal game. But, yeah, it's going to be hilarious because, to your point, George, I mean – at least in that WBC, the Japanese team outside of Nootbaar was, you know, Shohei, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Team Italy was hilarious. Like, my buddy Trey Mancini was supposed to be playing for Team Italy, and then he signed with the Cubs and was like, yeah, I'm not going to go.
Well, like, what do
I'm
going to
focus on my livelihood.
Okay, what do we think about who – somebody – they were announcing – oh, Skeens wants to pitch for Team USA?
Yeah, he's in.
Yeah.
He and Aaron Judge are like.
Is the WBC next year?
Yes,
I think so.
We'll position players will usually play. I got a striking suspicion that Paul Skenes will not pitch. That's the problem. None of our good pitchers throw.
I think he'll pitch because he'll just say, Pirates, whatever.
It is the Pirates.
But also, he will still be on a cheap deal.
Right.
And I think it's safe to say Paul Skenes will not finish as a Pittsburgh Pirate.
No, absolutely not.
Will he be traded or will he just stay there and sign somewhere else?
I think the Pirates eventually, if I know the Pirates like I think I do, they will trade him.
I mean, they've done it with literally everyone else.
Every single player they've ever had. Being a Pittsburgh Pirate fan has to suck because they actually have a very good ballpark.
Awesome ballpark.
And it's a fan base that wants to believe in anything.
I'm a Rays fan, and I feel bad for Pirates fans.
The other one is the Rockies. Oh, that one's insane. I went to Denver last year, and we went to a Rockies game.
Coors is stunning, isn't it?
Coors is awesome. And also, they're real estate guys, and they got a bunch of public money to help redevelop everything and make even more money around it. And they won't even consider putting a winning team on the field. I think they have two playoff appearances, Rocktober, which I had a bunch of Denver guys in my dorm freshman year, and I enjoy when they got swept in the World Series because Rocktober was driving me insane. And then the first year with Galarraga.
I miss Troy Tulowitzki.
I think those are their only two playoff appearances. And they're on pace to win 35 games this year.
It was funny. Because I was in studio last night, we had the Rockies game on, and they were winning majority of the day. We were just looking at the live odds, and I'm like, at some point, they're going to blow this.
Trust the process.
And, of course, not only did they lose, they lost 9-3.
Yeah, it's not even
they were winning the whole game, and then it was like, oh, wait, we're the worst team maybe in the history of baseball. It is trending that way right now.
I mean, literally, it's like you should just take alt lines. Because they don't just lose, they get absolutely hammered. All right, Tim has to leave. He's got second grade honor roll. Got to go tip his cap to his son. So we wish you well. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.
All right, see you guys.
That is Tim Murray of VSIN. When we come back, Josh Pastner says that the University of Memphis should build a statue for John Calipari. We got to talk about that next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
ESPN. All right, George, our buddy Jason Munns over at commercialappeal.com has a nice chat with Josh Pastner. He's got a piece up. He got Josh on the phone. Of course, Josh will return to the University of Memphis when the Tigers host UNLV on November the 9th. So he has a lot to say about his time in Memphis. He also even drops the anecdote that he tried to hire Penny as an assistant coach on three separate occasions. But I did like this line. He said, "Coach, I like golfing too much right now." That was Penny's response to him. So
yeah, that sounds about right.
That checks out at that time. But at the very end of the story, Josh, who will also return to Memphis, and with John Calipari likely returning to Memphis for the Hoops for St. Jude tip-off classic, he also had this to say about Calipari. Let me say this about Coach Calipari. What he did here for his whole time, but especially his last 4 years, it's unbelievable. Pastner noting that Calipari went 137-14 from 05 to 09, although Munns notes 38 of those wins were vacated because of NCAA violations.
Don't let those stop you.
The end quote. Of course, what does that even mean anymore? Quote, "They should build a statue for Coach, put his name up in the rafters. Hopefully they'll honor him in a high level way." All right, so number one, I believe this to be accurate. The only statue that the Tigers have is of Larry Finch.
I believe that's true. I believe that's true. I don't know of any other ones.
I believe, and it's on the basketball practice facility. So that's kind of the other thing. It's like, okay, Memphis also runs into the spot where, like, if you do put statues up, you put them on campus, or you try to have something in the forum. I think it's fair to say this. What John accomplished as a head coach is greater than what Larry accomplished as a head coach. I also think it's fair to say this.
One left on worse terms than the other.
That's not why Larry has a statue. Larry doesn't just have a statue for his coaching accomplishments. He has his statue for what he symbolized, which was going to Memphis when black players from Orange Mound did not go to Memphis because they had been shunned.
Yeah.
What he symbolized there, being a great college basketball player and being the head coach. It's his entire legacy.
Yes.
I'm also kind of anti-statue in general, just because it's like someone eventually is just going to whine and complain. But I do think this is a legitimate question. Should there be public markings, whether it be, you know, a rafter at FedEx Forum? Should there be something honoring John Calipari? Because that's where it gets murky, because if you just say the Memphis coach left for Kentucky, history, I think, would go, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
But that's not exactly how it worked. How it worked was John knew about the NCAA stuff coming down the pipe and held it off. So then he could get Kentucky while also kind of peeing on the front lawn as he was leaving. Should that matter historically, though?
So, to me, obviously, I would think yes. Because it is part of
the
story of John Calipari.
And the school gets to choose whether or not to honor you.
Absolutely.
And the way you exit, I do think matters.
100%. I mean, do we think Do we think Kentucky is going to do something like that for Calipari? I don't think so.
My guess is no.
No. My guess is also no, because for what it's worth, it's not like he left on exactly the greatest terms there either.
I also don't know how
either.
Kentucky, like, obviously Rupp has the arena named after him.
What's the court name? Do they have, like, a specific name for the court?
I'm sure it's sponsored by Kroger.
Oh, it might be. Yeah, that might be a sponsored one.
Or it's like a...
Because, you know, some they'll do the coach like for, like, the arena
Centennial
and the court.
Centennial something. Now people are selling the ads. But I don't think Patino is honored publicly with a marking.
Not
I don't think Tubby is either. They all have national titles, as does Cal. Like, I think Kentucky will honor his, like the 2012 team.
But that's, like, very specifically for that specific team. I don't think John Calipari himself, beyond that single year, is going to be honored by Kentucky. And, like I said, for what it's worth as well, might not have been on exactly the same type of bad terms by any means. He didn't exactly leave Kentucky by saying, okay, thank you guys so much. It was, you know, I might call it quits. I might, you know, there was all that humming and hawing.
There's also this to be true. I want to be clear. I think it's BS that the Final Four banner doesn't hang. Do I think Derek...
That I'll agree with.
Like, do I think Derrick Rose probably honestly took the ACT? Probably not. They didn't prove it.
No.
And so I think it's BS. But there is this reality. Could you have a banner hanging at FedEx Forum honoring John Calipari when the Final Four banner isn't hanging?
No.
Now,
I don't think so.
I also think this is Josh being Josh.
That was the other thought process. Like, when I first saw it, my because, of course, we all have, you know, we've heard him on these airwaves. We know what kind of guy that Josh is. My first thought was, this does not surprise me that Josh Pastner of all people is saying this. And I'm not holding it against him. I just think he's the nicest guy.
Josh also has sweat equity on those teams.
Absolutely
he does. And so, like, he's a part of that. I do wonder, though, does Cal returning in October, I believe that's when we'll do it.
If it's preseason,
Will that lay the groundwork for... Like, because I don't know. Like, that's what I always struggle with. That era needs to be commemorated.
Yes.
But I don't know how you go about it because, all right, believe we have CDR's jersey retired, right? Because I think the standard is consensus All-Americans get their numbers in the rafters.
I'm double-checking what we have retired, but CDR for sure. Didn't that just happen?
Yeah, I think that happened. Pandemic brain. I don't know. I can't remember if that was before because I remember him coming on and Jason and John. He has like a fashion company, and then he was going by Supreme Bay. But I don't know if he's back to
retired
CDR.
Jerseys. We've got...
So I think it's Penny, Larry...
I have just the list, and this is from the Tigers basketball. We've got 22 for Win Will Fong, 44 for John Gunn, 21 for Larry, 33 for Ronnie Robinson, 24 for Keith Lee, 34 for EP, 25 for Penny, and 13 for Forrest Arnold.
So CDR's not?
Not according to the Tigers website.
I thought we did something for him.
Now, this could just be not updated. Because it is
no. Usually, I trust SIDs.
Yeah, I tend to as well. Let me look specifically.
I think that is
CDR.
Like that. That is a big problem that I see is that era needs to be commemorated, but I don't know how you do it because the way that we do it historically is we honor the coach.
Yes, but to that point, or to your point earlier, I mean, how can they actually commemorate or add a banner to the rafters for the Final Four if the wins are vacated? Like, as a not even in terms of like, okay, do we just ignore it, but can the university actually go out of their way to say, to hell with what the NCAA says?
Can you hang a Final Four banner with an asterisk?
I mean, you could, but that asterisk
I think the problem is, as a member, institution. Maybe this is the simplest answer. If the NCAA's, if things are headed the way they are and the NCAA dissolves, then I think you can hang whatever the hell you want. Because I think now you have to agree if you're stripped of a Final Four appearance as a member institution, you can't honor it.
Looks like I was right. The CDR's jersey is retired. And
I was saying, I thought we did a whole ceremony and everything.
And the Tigers basketball website is just not updated properly.
Okay, and then also...
Oh, we have Tamika Whitmore.
Also, this from Sam Ehrlich. Another eligibility lawsuit has been filed against against the NCAA.
Yeah.
This time by Tennessee basketball's Zakai Ziegler. This is something of a twist from the formula. Ziegler, who played at UT since his freshman year in 2021, seeks the fifth year within his eligibility window. So essentially what Zakai is asking for is 5 years to play five.
Yeah, my first thought when I saw the headline was, okay, let me go look at how many games Zakai has played. I mean, he's played at least 30 games all four of his years. Because my first thought, like, obviously with us talking about this, is how does this affect Dane, right?
Yeah, the problem with Dane that Munns and I have talked about is...
Well, there was the academic ineligibility part of it. Is that even what he's suing for?
Well, it's Dane, like Dane's eligibility clock is up now. Yeah.
But isn't Ziegler's as well?
Well,
he's a true senior.
So Ziegler's basically suing for what a lot of, I think this is what the Rutgers football players are suing for. And I believe the Duke and North Carolina football players are suing for, which is they just want 5 years to play five. And essentially, what I think is if that goes a certain way, it starts to lay the groundwork for if you are a student in good standing, you're just eligible. And eligibility is no longer.
So, funny enough, when we were talking about with what the specific laws, like, for example, I went and looked at Mississippi's NIL law.
Yeah.
Because I was just curious. And it's, like, surprisingly strict on what collectives can give and things like that. Whereas Tennessee's, it looked like, is more of kind of carte blanche, hey, if you're eligible and you're within good standing, any of these rules against making money don't apply. My first thought is, how does that affect eligibility? Because that's one of the big conversations we've been having, even with...
I don't know. Is Deloitte going to be able to determine whether or not someone's eligible?
Is that in the house settlement? I mean, I don't know about you. I haven't read all however many hundred pages it is.
I don't know, because
it's probably a pretty dense.
And the other thing is, like, all it's going to take is one player getting. So let's say it goes down the way that the schools want it to, mm-hmm. which is Deloitte flags it, and let's say they go with eligibility, because I don't think they can tear up the deal. That's my understanding.
No,
is they can't tear up the deal.
I don't think so.
But let's say they say that player's ineligible. Well, that player's going to immediately go to get a temporary restraining order. And likely to get it.
The injunctions.
And so then when that one player gets it, then every player, like, this is what the NCAA has been doing. They have to blanket give it to everyone.
Yeah, so that's what happened with Pavia.
Yes.
So.
I don't even know why they think this is going to like last. Like I'm very, their entire strategy on all this is perplexing to me.
It's especially confusing in general because business is still going on. Like all these waivers that are still going through, that they're still using the current framework for when they're also fighting for a new framework that would completely reshape the way that they look at these other things.
Well, the other thing is...
Because, like, the show has to go on, right?
I think the climate is right for a player boycott. We almost saw this with Florida State.
Yeah.
But I think if all this stuff goes down, I think and especially when you now are starting to put the math together that everyone's worried about, we're writing checks with our mouth that we can't cash.
Yeah.
There's going to be kids that don't get money, and I think it's right for that.
Especially with that in mind, because a lot of the conversation is about that rev share. if that part of it especially does not go through and we are not able to pay these checks, that sounds like a lockout to me.
We'll tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 99 FM, ESPN. For today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. Let's go to Joe Burrow. When he was asked about the schedule, quote, playing in Baltimore for the fourth straight primetime year isn't ideal. Maybe we can get one of those games in Cincinnati next year, please. The Bengals have now played a night game at M&T Bank Stadium in each of the past three seasons. All of them have been defeats, including last year's 35-34 loss in Week 10. That would probably be pretty annoying.
I can see where that gets frustrating.
I can see Joe's argument. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.